This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Last night, protests remained peaceful in cities around North Carolina. It's the third night in a row that demonstrators took to the streets around the country to protest police brutality against black people. The death of George Floyd is a flashpoint for these demonstrations. A police officer killed Floyd in Minneapolis on Memorial Day by kneeling on his neck for nearly 9 minutes. The officer detained Floyd for allegedly using a counterfeit $20 bill. In North Carolina, peaceful protests turned violent on Saturday and Sunday nights. Local officials have declared states of emergency in Raleigh, Charlotte, Fayetteville, and Wilmington. In all of those towns, law enforcement officers used tear gas and other less lethal weapons against people demonstrating. Some vandalism was reported in Fayetteville, Charlotte, Wilmington, and Raleigh, as well as some other communities. Jason DeBruin is WUNC's data reporter. He's been covering the protest in Raleigh over the last few days and joins us now for more. Welcome, Jason.
Hi, Frank. Good afternoon.
I have to say, I was watching some of the coverage last night from Raleigh, and it looked pretty quiet. What did you see?
Oh, yeah. Last night was a good bit different from the events from over the weekend. Very quiet. You know, there was the curfew, obviously, at 8 o'clock. There was a small group, I would say a couple dozen, no more than 50, that stayed after that 8 p.m. curfew. But their plan the entire time was to stay for 1 hour and then leave peacefully. And sure enough, right at 9 p.m. sharp, the few that remained at that point, it was probably closer to like 20. They picked up their things and they left peacefully.
And last night's demonstrations were in real stark contrast to what happened Saturday and Sunday nights. And you were at both of those protests. So tell us what happened there.
No question. So Saturday, things started very peaceful again. It was a much larger demonstration. I'm estimating about 2,000 people first met in downtown on Fayetteville Street, right by the county courthouse there. There was a demonstration with some speaking, and then they marched around town, even going down Capitol Boulevard. But then as night fell and they came back into the more downtown area, that's when things turned more violent. The police presence changed. It was, changed from being mostly uniformed officers to officers that were dressed in riot gear, and things escalated. There were, protesters were throwing bottles and bricks. Police retaliated with tear gas and rubber bullets. And then on into the night is when the vandalism and some of the window smashing began. Sunday was a little bit different. Things also began peacefully, but the police presence was more immediately into that riot gear type scenario. And the police seemed more... We're quicker to fire, especially the sound cannons. If anybody's in the downtown area, I'm sure you heard loud booms throughout the night. And there were those flashbangs or those sound cannons that police fired much more rapidly into the crowd on Sunday night. But there was much less vandalism on Sunday night as well.
It's always hard to know sort of how things escalate and when the moment at which they become violent. I do want to play a clip of Raleigh's police chief, Cassandra Deck Brown. And here she's talking to a news conference on Sunday, trying to put together at least the first part of the sequence.
The Raleigh Police Department helped to facilitate the peaceful protest and the gathering that occurred before some members of the crowd became violent and destructive. It was not until after the crowd began to throw bottles and rocks at officers that the Raleigh Police Department escalated their response.
That's Raleigh Police Chief Cassandra Deck Brown talking on Sunday at a news conference. We did invite Chief Deck Brown to join the show today. She was unavailable. I'm talking about the protests over the last 3 days in Raleigh with WUNC data reporter Jason DeBruin. So the chief says that the officers escalated after the protesters started throwing water bottles and rocks. I don't know where you were with regard to all of this, but does that align with what you saw?
Well, not with what I saw. So what Chief Brown sort of laid out in more specificity a little bit later in that press conference was that the main group again came back right there at the courthouse on Fayetteville Street, but apparently a small group splintered and went down Davie Street sort of towards a sheriff's office building and actually around the side where there's sort of like a prisoner intake place or, an arrestee intake sort of, it's called a sally port, but it's basically just a sort of an entryway. And according to Chief Brown, that group then sort of pushed their way into the, into the garage type opening and actually apparently trapped some officers in that area. So then they first, according to Chief Brown, used smoke to try to disperse the crowd. Apparently that didn't work. And that's when gas was used after that, which then, of course, did disperse that portion of the crowd, allowing those officers to leave. Now, I was actually only one block over, so I didn't see that specifically. Where I was one block over was more closer to the convention center. And there what you saw was what was a peaceful, you know, peaceful protesters. Then you had police in the riot gear come up and sort of draw a line in the sand, you know, standing across the street and not allowing protesters to go down the street. And so what you just sort of naturally have happened then is that when that line is drawn, protesters tend to gather in that area. Now, at this point, presumably the police knew about what had happened just one block over. I did not know that. I won't speak for the protesters, but I suspect that there's many that were in that area that did not know that. But so at that point, then there were some bottles thrown that I saw, but you know, these are plastic water bottles. And then in retaliation to that was when there was more tear gas. So this was, you know, sort of as dusk was falling, it was still relatively light out. But that really was the turning point from what I saw, was that when those tear gas canisters were fired, at that point, things really started to escalate. So again, it's sort of difficult to know what happened one block over versus one block back. Then as night fell, you know, there were more lines drawn, a lot more police, only in riot gear. You didn't see any uniformed police officers anymore. And then, of course, you saw some of the bricks being thrown through windows and certainly some street signs and a good amount of vandalism on into the night. Much more tear gas again fired and even rubber bullets shot at groups of protesters. And that actually happened throughout the downtown area. So it wasn't just at that, you know, say convention center, but it was on Fayetteville Street, it was on Wilmington Street, Salisbury Street. So it really was a pretty widespread, protest and police presence at that time.
And it's interesting because what was happening in Raleigh was pretty typical of what was happening in many cities around the country, except Durham, where there were protests and demonstrations, but no violence. Obviously, you were in Raleigh, so you couldn't see what was happening in Durham, but I wonder if you have any insight into the difference in the way the police were used in any way that might account for the different kind of response in Durham.
It's very interesting, and I've seen, you know, on social media, certainly some places around the country, like Flint, for example, where police really were, in some ways, almost making an effort to, be a part of the protesters. I don't mean that as in like they were supporting the message necessarily, but just sort of, hey, we're not here to tell you what to do. We're here to just sort of keep the peace. It did feel that way to a certain extent early on, particularly as the protest was marching throughout the streets. The uniformed police officers at that point were very much just sort of allowing the protesters to walk whichever they wanted. They were trying to sort of guide traffic away, right, just to sort of, you know, reduce traffic jams or even if there was possibly somebody that could get hit by a car. But that did change, you know, later on in the evening or even late afternoon as dusk was falling. It was much more police in full riot gear, you know, full protection, gas masks and everything, standing in a line of maybe 20 across a street, whichever one that they had chosen that particular time, and definitely just drawing a line in the sand, you know, not speaking to the crowd, but just standing there very stern and stern-faced, almost as if they were drawing a line in the sand saying, you will not cross this line. You will not come over here. We're not trying to guide you in any direction. We're telling you to stop. And so that did feel different on the ground in Raleigh from what I was seeing, as you mentioned, in Durham and even in some other places around the country.
That certainly does draw a distinct line between us and them, you and us. But what about the demonstrators themselves? Could you detect a difference among demonstrators who maybe were there in order to foment trouble, violence, and those who really were committed to peaceful demonstration? Was there any way to detect that?
Absolutely. And I'll say that that certainly was true on Saturday, but it was even more true on Sunday. On Sunday in particular, you saw many members of the protest that were often encouraging their fellow protesters to remain calm. Yes, you can yell, you can chant, you can scream. Don't throw anything. Don't even throw a plastic water bottle. Don't even splash water. And, you know, they were even, you know, like if there was a line of police across the street, say, many of the demonstrators would even put up some cones, perhaps 20 feet down the street, you know, or up the street from where the police were standing, and saying, hey, we're not even going to cross these cones. And then when, say, one or two of the more hyped up demonstrators maybe would start to approach the police line, three or four of the other demonstrators would grab that person, bring him back, and say, "We're trying to be peaceful." One of the starkest things that I saw, it was actually incredible, it was probably the most moving part of the night, happened at the end of Hillsborough Street, right in front of the Confederate monument that's there. Again, police had lined up and protesters sat down. They sat down directly in front of them, and it was probably close to 200 people that sat down, and it was incredibly calm, actually, for close to 10 minutes. And again, this was Sunday. So certainly on Sunday, the efforts from the protesters were very intentional, that they wanted to be seen as very peaceful, as not destructive, and just simply there trying to get their message across.
Things even more peaceful Monday night. What about planned protests in Raleigh tonight? What do we know about protests in this area?
So there's a planned protest for, I think, about 6 o'clock that's planned at the municipal building. I don't know this for certain, but I think it's probably likely that it's in response to what the mayor said and what Chief Brown said on Sunday. There is a city council meeting tonight. That's at 7 o'clock. Of course, it would normally be in that building, but due to the coronavirus, it's being held, you know, via video conference. So although the protesters will be there in front of the municipal building, and again, I think that that location is intended, you know, to be a demonstration at the city council. The city council, of course, will not be there because they'll be teleconference. But yeah, that's tonight. So that's planned from 6 to 8. All the messaging on Twitter has said that they plan to leave at 8. But we'll, of course, we'll see what happens.
Curfew, you know, still in effect. Jason DeBruin, WUNC Data Reporter. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.